Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we are back at it. It's 10 o'clock, Tuesday night. This is the Duke Machado Show. You are tuned in and listening. We got 30 minutes of raw, unedited commentary, ideas, thoughts, whatever you want to call it, ramblings, frustrations. We kind of put it all out there. That's why I have this really easy listening music in the background. Try to tone things down a little bit. It's pretty easy these days to just, you know, get frustrated and think that it's all over with. You start listening to some libertarians and you really think it's over with. It's too late and we've already lost everything. But, you know, then you have to start realizing and start acknowledging that, you know, it's only too late if we give up. And tonight's program, we're talking about Dr. Ben Carson and his book, One Nation. I bought this book early on when I when rumor of, I guess it was after the National Prayer Breakfast. That's when I first heard about Ben Carson. For someone to stand there in front of all these people and on, you know, with a national press around, and to calmly, coolly say the things he was saying with President Obama sitting right next to him. If people wonder what Ben Carson would be like, whether he's going to be intimidated or not, they just need to go back to that video and watch it. They really need to see that you don't have to yell and scream to get your point across. In fact, you can be soft-spoken. It's the words that you say. It's the delivery that you give. It's the passion in your voice. When he was finished with his prayer breakfast, he was already a national sensation. I mean, he was already known for his skill as a neurosurgeon. But when word came out as to what he just did and how he just basically made President Obama acknowledge that he was part of a major losing proposition for the American people. I can't remember all the things he said, but basically, he put it square on President's shoulders, and there he was sitting right next to him. All he could do was smile. There was nothing he couldn't even counter it, because the way that Ben Carson delivered the message was with such a peaceful delivery. It made you want to like what he had to say, even though he was trashing Obama. The skill, I think, and they say, and there's a saying that a lot of times I have to end up saying, don't confuse my kindness for weakness. And I have a feeling that Ben Carson has probably had to say that a few times too. Nice, people who are nice to other people, who give people the benefit of the doubt, a lot of times, real courteous people, they don't really pop off and say things in a hateful sort of a way. They wait for the right moment when the maximum impact can be made, and they just lay it all out methodically, rationally, calmly, and you can't dispute it. And that's what Ben Carson did to Obama and really to the whole Democrat movement. He made a mark that day. He made an impression on me, and I'm sure millions of other frustrated Americans loved to hear what he had to say at that time. And back then, he was more than likely, I want to say he was tinkering with the idea, probably already creating some committees and definitely floating the idea of a possibility. He started putting his book together, One Nation. You know, there's a couple, I guess it was last week, I talked about the movie that I saw of his, Gifted Hands. Talks about all the amazing skill that he has as a neurosurgeon. And that movie goes into some of his childhood and talks about how he had to overcome a lot of problems, poverty, single parent, you name it. The obstacles, they exist today and they're in full force. And how he overcame those obstacles, the convincing that he had to do to himself, the mother who guided him, even though she was not able to read, that she encouraged her children to read. A lot of pieces to the puzzle that ultimately is Ben Carson. But in his book, I just want to read the contents off here. The contents of this book starts out with the 2013 National Prayer Breakfast. It goes into saving our future, causes of disunity and decline, political correctness, elitism, ignorance and forgetfulness, bigotry, no winners in political fighting, enslaving our children, don't sell the future. And then he's got a part two, which are solutions. And the solutions range from, oh, actually, no, it's not a part, yeah, it is a part two of the contents, pushing back. Respectful disagreement, the art of compromise, becoming informed, wisdom and knowledge, my brother's keeper, who are we without a vision, role models, the origin of morality, take courage. So you can imagine that this book is, it's not a book of him bragging about all of his accomplishments. It's not the kind of book that, you know, he's laying out all of his victories, the awards, and there's nothing in here about an award. By the way, this book was co-written with his wife. Now, before we get more into the breakdown here in these contents, if you were watching Fox News tonight, you saw Ben Carson with his wife, Candy. And if you've ever observed people, if you like to observe people, people watchers, you couldn't help but notice the genuine love and emotion, the caring that they have for each other. This is a woman who deeply, deeply loves, honors, cherishes her husband, and he is the same for his wife. They have each other's back. They're both humble people. They're super intelligent, wise, successful. They are, to me, the Democrats and the liberals, progressives' worst nightmare. You've got Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, who were going to Jeremiah Wright's church, who were basically radicalized. And he is the poster child for the black community. He's cool, he's hip, he's got some swagger. President Obama. Michelle Obama, you know, she's into nutrition programs. She likes to shop. She's into the glamour. You can tell, you can just see it. And when I think of the president, I think of the stress. I think of all of the horrific scenarios that he's faced with and will be faced with here with our next president. We've got all these global issues from Russia, Syria, ISIS, terrorism everywhere. It's all around us, even in our own country. When you think of the person who's at the helm at that time, the person who's in charge, what kind of person do you want? To me, this is why Ben Carson is rising in the polls. People are seeing that now is not a time, while it may sound good and make us feel good, for irrational people. We have to have clear, calm, honest, firm leadership. We need people who can make decisions, stressful decisions, where people's lives are on the line. We need problem solvers. To me, Candy Carson really boosts the candidate Ben Carson. She's fabulous. I like listening to her talk about him. It's great to see so much respect. And, you know, there's plenty of, think of all the couples that you know. Think of all the married couples that you know. How many of them are happily married? How many of them cherish each other? Probably maybe half, if that many. These two are devoted to each other, and you can see it. People, I believe, are starting to feel that he could be devoted to them, to their cause, to the American people versus the government. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're talking about elitism and political correctness. These are going to be two big keys, and he talks about how to deal with political correctness and the media. So when we come back, we're going to get into what he had to say in this book, and we'll compare it to what he's been doing with the media. I'm Duke Machado, and be right back.
One disease. Millions of lives permanently disrupted. Today, there are over 5 million Americans living with Alzheimer's disease. But Alzheimer's is taking more than memories. It's taking lives. What few realize is that Alzheimer's kills more people than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined. And Alzheimer's is the only disease in the top 10 causes of death that can't be slowed, stopped, or prevented. From 2000 to 2013, while deaths from other diseases decreased significantly, Alzheimer's deaths increased 71%. But equally disturbing, many living with Alzheimer's say they are not being told their diagnosis. While more than 90% of people with the most common types of cancer say they are told their diagnosis, only 45% of people with Alzheimer's or their caregivers say they are told. The economic toll is staggering too. In 2015, it will cost the nation $226 billion to care for people with Alzheimer's. By 2030, 72 million baby boomers will reach an age of greater risk. The fact is, everyone's at risk for Alzheimer's, even you. But everyone can help, especially you. We're the Alzheimer's Association, the brains behind saving yours. Join us.
All right. We're back for the second half of the program. Thank you for tuning in. This is Duke Machado. You're listening live every weeknight, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can follow me on Facebook, or actually you can follow me on Twitter. It's follow Twitter at Duke Machado1 and find me on Facebook at The Duke Machado Show. We all always have the lines open, willing to take calls, live calls. That number, if you want to call in, 347-637-1055. And if you're listening on your device or laptop, click that little pink follow button. I'm going to call it pink follow button. And every time we upload new episodes, you'll get a quick reminder letting you know that the show is about to start. It's kind of cool. So check that out and follow the show. We have an incredible guest tomorrow night, David Walaloo. He will be back. He was with us couple programs ago, and we talked about Islam. He is one of those elusive, hard-to-find, moderate Muslims. He's an immigrant. He's a U.S. soldier. His story is very unique, and he is going to be on tomorrow night to talk about immigration. He's got a new perspective he wants to share, so we're looking forward to that. Now, we're back on the Dr. Ben Carson book, One Nation. I suggest you pick it up. It doesn't cost very much. I've seen it online, about $8 or $9. Mine's in hardback. And, you know, I've kind of gone through and highlighted different things in the book that really jumped out. But the thing that I really like to see is how much attention he's paying to the game. The game is socialism. Socialism trying to defeat the United States and our way of life. Socialism creeping in all areas. The big picture. He sees that the reason that all these things are happening, the reason there's such a thing as political correctness is because all of these tactics have been put in place and enforced by the radicals, those who are really trying to transform the country, people like Barack Obama. I don't know how that guy became elected. How is he our president? I still don't get that. People were desperate and looking for something, I guess. Okay, so When he's talking about political correctness, he realizes that this is a weapon, this is a tool, this is a way. He calls them PC police. And who are the PC police? This is one line here I want to make sure that everyone knows, that the PC police isn't anyone in particular, directly from the book. Self-appointed political correctness police, or PCP, have set up speech guidelines that go far beyond the requirements of kindness, good manners, education, and tact. They forbid the use of the word slavery by conservatives, to mention the Nazism by conservatives, or the mention of homosexuality in anything other than a positive context, to name a few of their rules. So if anyone's talking about homosexuals in a negative way, that's politically incorrect, and they're going to call you out. if you're talking about slaves and you're a conservative, then you're probably trying to convince people that it was the Democrats who wanted slavery and they have to shut us down. That's politically incorrect. And also, anytime we mention a comparison of Barack Obama or any of these progressive who are using Hitler or Nazi-like tactics, anytime conservatives use these references, they say that we are being politically incorrect. So, do we stop? Do we stop saying things just because it's uncomfortable for them? Ben Carson says that political correctness stifles dialogue. Rather than allowing a normal conversation to occur between two or three people, just having a normal discussion where one person says one thing on their mind, another person says another thing on their mind, and maybe in the end they just agree to disagree, and that happens sometimes. But maybe if people weren't so worried and afraid of being called a racist or a bigot for just voicing their opinion on something, we might actually be able to make some progress somewhere. This is ultimately what Ben Carson is getting to, that the political correctness has got us to the point where in our Congress, our government can't function. They can't communicate with each other because they're so afraid of a misstep, or a misstatement, something that can be taken out of context or used and spun to gain leverage in some sort of way or another. There's a faux hypersensitivity. That's another phrase that Ben Carson talks about. You know, it reminds me of the soccer player who's playing and the guy comes up and does a tackle or something, a legal tackle, and he hits all ball, doesn't even touch the soccer player, but the guy takes a dive and he does this amazing acting job and rolls and grabs his right leg, and his right leg was nowhere near any sort of kick or anything like that. But, you know, he has to use some hyper acting to convince the judges, the referees, that there was a penalty. So, to me, that's what these guys are. They're all these soccer players who are faking their injury. So, when you say something about a Muslim and someone overhears you talking about Muslims, they might try to come and shut you down because they're extremely sensitive to it. And they want to let you know. They're going to try to block that discussion, and they're good at it. He lists an example here. Let's see here. Excellent example of how these people work occurred about a month after the National Prayer Breakfast, when on national television I was asked about my opinion regarding gay marriage. I immediately stated that I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, and that no group has the right to change the definition of marriage to suit their needs. By way of example of groups that engage in non-traditional sexual relationships, I mentioned NAMBLA, North American Man-Boy Love Association, and people who engage in bestiality. My point was to emphasize that marriage is a long-standing tradition, and there is no necessity to change the definition now, regardless of which group wants to change it. The secular progressives seized upon the opportunity to distort the meaning of what I said and deviate the conversation away from the definition of marriage by instead focusing on me and trying to paint me as a homophobe who thinks that gay marriage is equivalent to bestiality. Nothing could be further from the truth. I appeared both on CNN and MSNBC to explain that I didn't think that there was equivalency between the groups mentioned in my answer, and to state unequivocally that I had no intention of offending anyone else, but I still believe in traditional marriage. So one of the things, unfortunately, that you have to do when you're on the campaign trail like this is you have to be able to respond to the PC police. One thing he suggests is to buy and read the Saul Alinsky book, Rules for Radicals. He talks here, Saul Alinsky advised his followers to level sharp attacks against their opponents with the goal of goading them into rash counterattacks that would then discredit them. What do you do? How do you stop it? He says, refrain from reacting in fear or anger to those who disagree with us or even attack us. That's what he's doing. You've got Donald Trump, you've got media, the liberal media, attacking Ben Carson. Ben Carson, you know, it's kind of like, why are you going to attack this guy? He has never hurt anybody. He hasn't done anything bad to anybody. But he's rising in the polls, so that automatically draws the fire. Fortunately, it seems to me like he is grounded, and his foundation is not gonna allow him to slip up. Which, to me, if you're looking for a president to be a leader and express clear, concise, powerful thoughts and messages, this is what you want. You want someone like Ben Carson. Now, I've been talking a lot about Ben Carson. I just want to say, I have some others that I like as well. So I'm not 100% in on Ben Carson yet, but I do like a lot of his story. I like the fact that he overcame hurdles and obstacles, that he learned from his mistakes, and that he rose to high levels, that he set high standards for himself, that he's had a marriage to the same woman for, what did I hear, 40 years. And to know that love is still strong, it's genuine, you can see it. People are going to hate Ben Carson because he's got everything put together. You know, but you can't hate him, even though you want to, because you know you're wrong. And he's got an advantage there over a lot of the other candidates, because he is such a thoughtful person. Well, that's about the end of my program. We didn't get to talk as long as I wanted to. We've only got 30 minutes. Tomorrow night, again, we have guest David Wallaloo, and we're talking immigration. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm looking forward to it. He hasn't even told me really what his angle is on immigration. So if you want to hear something different and unique, you're going to want to be tuned in tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, every weeknight on The Duke Machado Show. You can find me again on Facebook and like my Facebook page, The Duke Machado Show. Follow me on Twitter at Duke Machado 1. And make sure you talk to some people out there. Let them know they need to go register if they're not registered. Get them involved in the primary. Show them the big picture. And, you know, let's make it happen. We're getting close. We got more debates coming up. But for now, this one here is about Ben Carson. I'm kind of liking Marco Rubio. We'll see who else, comes up. Will Carly Fiorina rise or will she drop? We'll see. A lot more to come in the weeks to follow. Duke Machado, and I'm out of here.